Good morning.
Morning, Tony.
Good weekend.
Yes.
The attorney general's candidates, they had a real debate, didn't they?
The attorney general candidates?
Yes.
That was 2 weeks ago, Tony.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about that because it seems like that race is really starting to heat up now.
Well, it is. Basically, these are fairly unknown quantities. David Layton, of course, the Genesee County prosecutor, is known over on that side of the state. And, of course, Bill Schuette's been around town for a long time. And if the polling data is correct, it's pretty tight between the two of these guys.
And the reason I bring that up, because I'm going to bring up the current attorney general who is mired in controversy.
Yeah. This is an interesting little story. It started out as sort of as a blip on the radar screen 2 weeks ago, and then Anderson Cooper got a hold of it. And all of a sudden, everybody and his uncle's talking about this thing. The attorney general is in the position now of going to hold a hearing on the employee in question who has been blogging against the homosexual president of the student council at U of M, who is now on a leave of absence self-imposed.
And I actually contacted said president, and we're going to have him on the program in a couple of days.
Good.
What was interesting, Tim, is he wants nothing to do with any of this and still can't understand why the attorney is all over his life right now.
Yeah, it is a perplexing situation. I have no idea what's going on there.
You know, I'm a little confused. If you don't have football, you don't have a game, you have no need for a halftime show or a band, and in reading your blog and this, hearing the story here on our radio show, I'm at a loss for the arts versus the jocks, which is in your blog in the Oakland Press today.
It's really kind of an incredible story. We did a debate down in Macomb County last week with the four majority candidates running for the State Board of Education. And as you know, I try to ask some questions that can break some new ground and get into areas that they hadn't thought about. And so the hypothetical was, you're on the State Board of Education, you got a local superintendent who's a friend, and he or she calls up and says, look, I've got a choice. I cut my band or I cut my football program. What do I do? Now, the politically correct answer is you obviously get rid of the musicians, for crying out loud. Who wants them around? You can't go watch them on a Friday night and sit out in the cold. But all four of them said, let's save the band. Isn't that amazing?
But if you have no game, there is no need for a band.
Well, but it's not all about just the marching band, Tony. You may not have heard of this, but there's a thing called a concert band.
Yeah, go to the concert. I'm a music guy.
They stay inside where it's nice and warm, and you can go in. Actually, the research on this one is pretty clear. The kids that play in the band academically do better than other kids that don't.
No question.
There's no question about that. Now, the problem is, take away Friday night football in some communities in our state, and you got nothing. Now, two of the candidates, two of the Republicans said, you know what, we could save the football program and the band program by going to corporate sponsors and letting them underwrite the football program. Now, they could slap their logo on the football helmets and the like. But what happens if your community has a Dairy Queen and the other community has Dow Chemical?
Yeah.
Doesn't quite work.
Well, and we're in that situation, Tim, that I know you're all familiar with, extracurricular activities. The more we have, the better it is for the students, and that's a challenge right now.
Well, the fine arts, and I'm biased. I'm a former clarinet player. Our daughter is in musical theater, so I'm biased here. I think the music program is pretty important. It gives you a part of your life that you don't normally get, but I also, being a guy who played baseball, at least I sat on the bench on the baseball team. I understand the athletics, too, and I also ran a recreation program during the summer. So I'm sympathetic to both sides, but it was a curious answer that the four of these candidates, both the R's and the D's, took not the easy route out. They took what they thought was right. One of them, Eileen Weiser, has a master's degree in piano, so she really had no choice.
Tim, I found the blog piece that you did on Thursday, D's Abandoned Gov on Bob. Very interesting. What happened?
Well, this was the same debate, and these were the same candidates, and the question was, do you support the state's effort to take over the Detroit school system? And two of the Democrats basically did not side with the governor. Remember, she applauded Robert Bob going in there and working on the finances, but the two of the D's said, this is a local control issue. One of them said that Bob has gone beyond what he was supposed to do, and the other one simply said, look, at local schools are run by local soups and local school boards. Next question.
And that was an interesting topic because, as we have talked about before on this program, you had mentioned how you were a little surprised that Rick Snyder had an interest in Detroit, and usually Republicans didn't do that during an election.
Well, he has, and he's been very clear about it. He has adopted the old Milliken, Governor Milliken mantra, which is, as so goes Detroit, so goes the state. And it is a pretty gutsy move by a Republican running statewide to come to the aid of the city of Detroit. And he does it quite consistently. He doesn't just pick his audiences where he does it, inside 8 Mile Road. No, he's done it all over the state. And he has not fleshed out what he would do for Detroit or how much money he would divert into the city. But at least from a philosophical standpoint, he thinks that something ought to be done to save that city.
Sunday liquor sales, what do you think?
I don't know if she's going to veto this thing or not. Here's the problem. The bill that she supported was 8 pages long. And when they got done with things on Thursday night, as off the case, it mushroomed to 58 pages, which she has no idea what's inside there. So they are pawing over that bill. My guess is the lobbyist maybe did something to this that she doesn't like, and she's going to have to veto part of it.
58 pages worth.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. Those lobbyists were out there, and when lawmakers and lobbyists get together, that's what happens.
There's a raise in there for you and I in those 58 pages.
I'm going to guess probably not, okay?
What are you going to be working on today?
We're hooking up with Mr. Bonero. He's got an event in town at 12:30. We'll see what he's got to say.
Well, and the debate is coming up, and that should prove interesting.
Yep, we're doing a post-debate analysis on the broadcast from 7 to 8, and then we're on from 8 to 8:30. Listen to this lineup. Frank Beckman from WJR, Chuck Stokes from Channel 7, Ron Zwinkowski from the Free Press, and I think Vicki Thomas from J Radio in Detroit. So it was a pretty good panel, and we should be able to pick apart what they said in that debate.
You think?
Yeah, we'll have fun with that.
Be like vultures on bones.
There you go, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Tim.
Hey, T, have a good one.